Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey y'all, welcome back to a Saturday, July 2nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. We're going to have a three-parter today. We're going to run Sports Reporters Assemble today because it's a holiday weekend and NBA trades are crazy at the moment, so don't want to have any of our NBA stuff already be out of date before we even get it out there. So this will come out a little bit early for you guys today. So Andrew Hammond of the Detroit Free Press and Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast here on a Saturday edition of the Sports Reporters who have indeed reassembled. Don't forget, folks, you can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast. Like and subscribe. Check us out there. Read me at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type in your email. That easy. That simple. And be a subscriber today. You can email this very program with any mailbag stuff or anything like that at ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. Tweet at me at Chase_Thomas. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. A lot of NBA, Kevin Durant, Jazz trading Gobert, the future of college football, NFL quarterbacks, all that and more coming up on this edition of the Sports Reporters who have indeed reassembled. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast, the Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
Wild. Yeah, hard.
Let's talk sports as Bob Silverman does. As I don't even know what, he threw me off as we were getting ready to start the Sports Reporters Assemble opening because all I heard was sports talk hard from Bob as we were getting started here, and I didn't know where that sentence was going. Bob Silverman's here. Andrew Hammond is here as they are every Saturday afternoon. Andrew, Bob, how are you guys?
Yeah, all right. I would like news to not break.
Yeah.
Till at least Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of days.
But I love how it impacts all of our sectors of and all of our areas of expertise. Yeah, and it's sure. All just a crap storm. I'm gonna see if I can keep it PG this week.
Keep it PG.
I saved all of my ranting because my mom FaceTimed me this morning half asleep. I'm just like, hi, how are you? She's like, how was work this week? And then I just exploded. I was just mad. Oh, not mad necessarily, but just like, hey, news. Stop newsing.
Mm-hmm.
I would enjoy that, but it's fine. It's been a week.
Well, at least it's a holiday weekend, right? It's a 3-day weekend, but let me just go ahead and tell you, with the fireworks already starting to go off last night and having a dog, it's horrific, and they're just traumatized for the entire weekend. It's not even just a day anymore. When did July 4th weekend turn into a whole weekend of fireworks and not just the day of? Now it's days.
Hey, do you guys remember in 2020 when there were a whole bunch of conspiracies that the government was setting off fireworks to mess with people's minds?
Wait, was that real?
Yeah, no, it didn't really happen.
Well, no, I'm saying with that a real theory? I don't remember this.
That was a real theory. You need to spend some time in the danker corners of the internet.
I'm good, Bob.
Yeah, actually, I don't want that, Bob.
You guys don't know. I got it. I got it covered. I got this beat locked down.
You really do.
I've got that. You don't need to know.
You've shown us. You've shown us the dank and dark parts of the interwebs, and I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't want to go any further.
There you go.
Okay. Because there was one thing that you told me last year about a theory that was going on a story you were working regarding a certain fighting league.
Okay. I haven't gotten that story, so let's just keep it in those parameters.
I just remember you were talking about that, and you gave, and I'm just over here, like, my brain cells are trying to operate, and it's like, what in the hell is this?
Yeah, I exposed myself to some bad things. I have a Silkwood shower installed, so it's not a problem. I can just...
You have a what?
It's a joke. Okay. You know, the detox... Did you see the movie Silkwood? It was came out before both of you were born.
I've actually seen it because I had to watch it for a class. What state does it take place in, Bob?
Is that in Michigan?
Wrong. Oklahoma.
It's in Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah.
Whistleblower.
SEC country, Oklahoma. People forget.
Talks about dangerous and illegal procedures at a nuclear facility. And if there is a breach and they get infected with radiation, they have to blast her with a hose in order to sort of make sure she doesn't die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Silkwood shower. It's Google it, kids. You'll get the answer. In any case,
how does this relate to Rudy Gobert getting traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Bob?
I don't know. You want to talk about Rudy Gobert? It really doesn't.
Doing.
No, the Jazz are fine. That's a good trade for the Jazz.
That it's
Do you know
weird.
What, here's a conspiracy theorist. Here it is. Here's a conspiracy.
They got
theory.
As much as Paul George as. Whichever Oklahoma City got for Paul George when the Clippers traded him. They got everybody.
You know what they're doing?
For a
30-year-old
center who's being paid like $42 million a year, and you have to take off the court in playoff games. If we're talking the cruel logic of NBA team building, I think Danny Ainge et al. Made out quite well.
Yeah.
I want to believe that they were like, we can't be good with these uniforms, so we need to be in a rebuild situation where the black and highlighter is only for a rebuild, and we associate it with a bad time in Jazz basketball.
We have covered the Jazz uniform.
We've covered him, but I'm saying, like, they're going to only be bad with these uniforms, and it cannot be a coincidence that they elected now with a uniform rebrand to be bad for 5 years.
It can be a coincidence.
I don't know. I will say this in terms of what the Jazz are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I made this point during the playoffs when I was like, oh, they're basically just going to waste this window that they've created for themselves. Because I still
window's
think they're
closed, man.
That window's closed. Like, I'm talking about, this was during the playoffs.
Okay.
This year. I was like, they're going to waste this window that they created for themselves, and like, they didn't do anything with it. And somebody brought in, brought up the fact, oh, well, they picked up Mike Conley. And I'm just like, really?
Mike Conley, I think the Jazz, given the two stars that they managed to draft, one Donovan Mitchell with a 13th pick and Rudy Gobert with the 27th pick, they put good pieces around him. But those players were not transcendent enough to lead that team to a title. They were an excellent regular season team. They won a ton of games. The Dennis Lindsay era in Utah history has to be considered a ginormous success. It was just time for it to be over.
Yeah.
And they got a haul. Whether or not they keep Donovan Mitchell, too, there are conflicting reports coming out of Utah. Andy Larson, who covers the team for the Salt Lake Trib, says that might not be the case. Tony Jones at The Athletic says that probably, for now, they are keeping Donovan Mitchell. but like that team is going to be bad for a bit.
You think it's going to be a Godfather offer?
Look, if the Gobert package was 5 first round draft picks and 3, you know, okay players, then yes, the price to acquire Donovan Mitchell will be more than that. So that is already a Godfather offer.
Okay. So let me rephrase that question.
Sure.
Is anybody actually going to make that Godfather offer?
Okay. First of all, there's a really funny moment during the trade frenzy when someone in a position to know Fat Joe said Donovan Mitchell had told Fat Joe that actually Donovan Mitchell wanted to play for the Miami Heat. And then Fat Joe went on the record to rebut that report, but did it in the third person saying Fat Joe never said that. So I'm sure Miami would love to acquire Donovan.
Don't you want to play for the Knicks? Yeah.
Look, the reports coming out of the Knicks, on the other hand, are that they're not exactly sure how, or it's not specifically this. It's like right now they are keeping their powder dry, and I personally wonder how well a Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, who they just acquired, backcourt would hold up defensively, considering they, like, both Brunson and Mitchell spent last year's playoffs targeting one another on defense.
True.
So yes, you could probably include Jalen Brunson in that package, but part of the enticement to bring Jalen Brunson to New York was you're going to be the man. Mm. And bringing in Donovan Mitchell to play alongside him would sort of run contra to that. And using him as part of the package to acquire Donovan Mitchell would run even further, which they can't do. They can't trade him till December anyway, because they just signed him. So yes, I'm sure the New York front office is, as Kevin Durant was, monitoring the situation in Utah and seeing what kind of trade packages emerge. I don't know if the Knicks, despite the fact that Donovan Mitchell's dad works for the Mets, and Donovan Mitchell is a
does
Mets
he?
Fan. Yeah, he does. Donovan Mitchell's dad.
What does he do?
It's some kind of, it's not like a high level, I forget the actual job title. Jamie?
When was he hired by the Mets? Was he a Cohen hire? Or was he pre? Did he?
No, he's been
Cohen?
Around for a while.
Okay.
It's not a recent hire. It's not like the Mets hired him to entice Donovan Mitchell.
That's
to
what
come
I was. This
York.
Is some really, really forward thinking by Cohen.
No. He grew up in New York, in the New York greater New York area. So Donovan Mitchell's been a Knicks fan for a while, which is why he's been so.
That's bad.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, there were, again, reportedly, factions of the Phil Jackson front office that very much wanted to draft Donovan Mitchell with the ninth pick in 2017. Mm. And he had supposedly a very impressive workout prior to the draft. Donovan Mitchell went about where he was predicting to go in that draft. New York took, I'll let you guys guess who New York took instead. I don't need to ask.
Is that Ntilikina draft? Is that the Ntilikina one?
That's the Ntilikina draft.
Yeah.
I was so high on that pick.
I liked the pick at the time. Everyone said Ntilikina is going to take a couple of years to develop, but that was also where he was projected to go. No one was screaming about it being a massive reach or anything like that. Many people wanted Dennis Smith Jr., who, I don't know if he'd been allowed to start in New York his whole career and didn't have to suddenly change his entire game playing against Luka Doncic. Maybe things would have turned out different for Dennis Smith Jr., but that's some alternate timeline stuff that we'll never know. In any case, so yes, there are a lot of narrative threads connecting Donovan Mitchell to New York. Reportedly, for now, given the current roster makeup of the team, he's not a target. Who might be interested in him? I don't know. I don't think anybody connected the Minnesota Timberwolves to Rudy Gobert until yesterday. So
yeah, I just don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to put all their. I don't think he's at that. I don't think he flips a lot of these teams that are close. Like, I don't think they see him as a two-way player that will get them over the hump. And I don't know. I like Donovan Mitchell, but I think
Donovan Mitchell too, but there are limitations to being a 6'1" scoring guard.
Right. I just don't think
he's already 25, I think.
Yeah, the team to do it would be like a Portland situation where they give away all their assets that they've acquired, and they just are like, hey, we'll just see what happens with Dame and Mitchell here late at the end of Dame's prime.
I mean, Portland could be a play-in team this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they re-signed Nurkic for a lot.
Mm.
470 is a lot. They have Jeremy Grant. They got Jason Hart, who I always like.
Josh Hart.
Josh Hart.
I think there was a Jason Hart in the NBA, though.
There was a Jason. Maybe. Yeah.
Jason Jamie. Smith. He was a Knick. Remember
We're
Jason
not
Smith?
About Jason Smith. I hate Jason Smith.
I think what did I described he do? Jason. He just I got think boards.
I'm fairly sure I described Jason Smith in print or in a digital media publication as a walking jar of expired mayonnaise. I really dislike Jason Smith.
That's mean. That's really mean,
Bob. Yeah, I
was
mean to him. He didn't do anything to hurt me. I just didn't like him. I didn't like watching him play sports on my team.
That's the difference between old media and new media. New media doesn't talk to...
Josh Hart, Jeremy Grant, Yusuf Nurkic, Dame, re-signed Anfernee Simons, Newsom Little. You know, I think Ben McLemore might hang around again. They've got all of those, all those players who I can't recall right
Zach
now.
Zach Collins?
Starting for them. Greg Brown. Zach Collins got traded.
Did he?
With San Antonio.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He did. Okay. Yeah.
They've got – that's
they re-signed Nurkic, yeah.
They got a possible playoff team there.
I don't know. The West is tough, man. They're a play-in team
play-in
at the most.
Team.
Yeah, at the most. At the most.
Okay, so right now there is not a clear market for Donovan Mitchell. You know – And I think the smart move for the Jazz would be not to go full tanking for Victor Wembanyama, but hold on to Dame and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dame. Hold on to Mitchell. Wait for more offers to materialize. See what the market will bear.
My favorite thing, I don't know. We'll end it on this. What do you think? Do you think Mitchell stays, or is he on another team on opening night? Because I don't think he gets traded after that. Like, once they decide they pivot, he's going to be there. What do you think?
Andrew Hammond, I'm poking you.
Give me the deadline.
I mean, opening night.
No, I know that. I'm just saying trade deadline.
Okay. I just don't think guys move like that anymore at the trade deadline. If he doesn't move now, I don't think he moves.
There may be a team that will be, you know, they'll be close to a top four and maybe put themselves think that, okay, we need one more piece to get us into finals contention.
I think his value's down, though. If he's playing on a bad Utah team next year, I think you get less if you wait till the deadline. I think you get a lot more now than you do in February.
Does he even want to be there? That's my question.
Well,
at this point, I mean, look, it was fairly clear that there was some kind of a rift between him and Gobert, an irreparable one. So now that Gobert's gone and management has said, this is your team, granted, he's playing. I don't even know who's left. There's, you know, Conley's still there, but
I'm gonna love the pick and pop with him and Walker Kessler. Like Kessler was putting that up at Auburn,
As you know, Wendy said,
that was just fantastic.
That was a delightful bit of NBA Twitter weirdness. The Brian Windhorst meme day.
I just love how
wonderful.
I love how he said a lot of nothing, and everybody
he said absolutely nothing.
Everybody
you thought was going to make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, and you know, I think everybody knew that Gobert was going to go.
I just didn't know what or how or
what or how, and he didn't certainly say Gobert is going to go to a team that you wouldn't expect. He gave zero hints of like he didn't. He's not, you know, Nostradamus. He predicted nothing. All he did was, you know, do a very long monologue from Columbo, and everyone thinks, and because it was very funny. The way he did it, it was some real Stephen A. Smith hours in terms of the timing and the syntax of the monologue, and I respect it.
It was, but I love how, like, there, because there were, like, some NFL insiders, or at least I saw one that was like, oh, we could never do this on our network. And basically they were just kind of complaining that they were basically just complaining that he gave a 2-minute just monologue that was nothing, that had barely any substance at all. And they were just like, we couldn't get away with something like this. I'm like,
he consciously fed himself to the aggregation hordes. Good job, Brian Windhorst.
I think it was fun,
hilarious, and it made for some very funny memes. And I posted memes that I thought.
There you go. Did you see the ABCDE? FGHIJKLMNOP, that like it, with the different stills from it, Windhorst
was
pretty funny.
Who said it. I like the person who set the entire monologue to a Hans Zimmer song.
Yes.
I forget which one that one was really.
It was Mountains, I want to say.
He was a Twitter main character one day this week too, wasn't he? And is it Hans Zimmer or Hans? I always thought it was Hans.
Hans chimed in, I think. On the Supreme Court,
he popped out of nowhere and he had a take. What was it? He was a main character one day on Twitter.
No.
It wasn't main. He did have some thoughts about our current politics.
Yeah.
And it got picked up and everyone went, oh.
Hans Zimmer's got some takes.
Was it the type of take that's like, thank you. Thank you, Bob. So was he like the main character for normal Twitter, or was he the main character for I'm offended by everything right wing Twitter? Because they will make you a main character for everything.
No, I think yes, it went into the more politics Twitter turf.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even that spicy a take, if I recall. I don't remember what it is, so.
It was more that Hans Zimmer is just out here putting his takes on Twitter.com now.
It's just that, nobody saw some Hans Zimmer takes coming.
You never know.
It's like Hans Zimmer has entered the chat. Wait, what?
Yeah. Kevin Durant only wants to play.
And now Kevin Durant on teams that he wants, but without people giving up players.
I love this. Kevin Durant only wants to play for Heat with Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, and Bam Adebayo. Okay,
buddy.
Kevin, that's not how any of that would work. I respect it. I respect all of what he's doing at this moment. Like, he signed the extension and then he backstabs Kyrie. He backstabs the Nets. And then he's like, by the way, I'm only going to the Suns or Nets. I'm giving you a trade.
Well, it's a little odd that he launched, that he gave. It depends on what his motivations are.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe the reports that he wants to somehow turn himself and Kyrie into a package deal to team up again somewhere else, then not really. It just seemed the timing of it was a little odd that Kyrie spent that one afternoon of leaked reports from the Nets camp and Kyrie's reps about whether he would just become a free agent and take, a taxpayer mid-level or the mid-level exception from some team for a year, and then everyone's had to say, well, actually he's the president of the union. No, he really can't do that. He could, but it would certainly not be an act of solidarity with the rank and file or anything like that. But there was this day going back and forth where everyone had to hear these shams inflected reports and stuff about what Kyrie was going to do, and maybe he would just walk, and then he did opt into the final year. So now Kyrie for 1 year is, I would say, a little bit more, has more options to go somewhere than Kyrie trying to peddle his services on the open market with a limited number of contending teams with the cap space to actually sign him, and in it being a near impossibility that he would take, a $30 million a year haircut. So Kevin did wait until Kyrie had lost a lot of his leverage before making this announcement. Although reports are that it's not like Durant knocked on the boss's office and said, hello, I would like to be somewhere else now. But this is something the Nets have known for a bit of time. 2 weeks, I think, is the report. So, look, it's Kevin Durant is, you know, almost everything about Kevin Durant that doesn't have to do with his actual job performance is incredibly grating and kind of frustrating. And I hope he gets traded somewhere that's his last team. I'm quite exhausted hearing about Kevin Durant's moods and feelings about things.
All I'm going to say is,
say it.
The way this week is going, I've never wanted to side with the owners in a labor dispute, but man,
but
they are like the way NBA players are acting this week. They are. I'm like, you know,
it's true. It is. It is. It has certainly swung public. Like public sentiment has absolutely pivoted towards the right of a worker to choose his place of employment. But it was weird. It was all the old backlash of these in like a 4-year contract is meaningless. And how could you do this to a team? And if why would you sign that if you're just going to tear it up when it suits your whims? And there was a bit of an anti-labor backlash. And I get where it's coming from.
Well,
I still don't agree with it, but I get it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. But I'm over here like, guys, you are giving the owners a ton of ammo when it comes to negotiations. And, oh, boy, Kyrie at the negotiating table in a year or two.
But see, like, there's nothing you can negotiate out of this where you can't force these guys to treat the contracts, the 4-year contracts, as 4-year contracts. Like, they can go back to one and ones, and they can just pivot. They'll just be like, we'll just do that instead. We won't do that.
Like, I mean, some players want that kind of stability. They want to know, like, okay, sure, my knee turns to crab meat, I'm still getting paid. Some players want that. I don't think we should go back to one and one. I don't think that's very different.
I'm not saying I want that, but I'm saying they can pivot. I think the players can pivot around. I don't think you're going to be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube in terms of players not looking at or big time players not looking at contracts as just we'll figure it out and we know we can get around it. We can make life and the day to day life miserable enough that you'll move it. You'll move this contract. Like you'll figure out a way to appease us. And it's like one of those things where, look, we understand that player empowerment's good.
The converse is like, well, you know, when everyone says, well, yeah, but the owners are honoring their contractual commitments. And I'm like, yeah, sort of. But Rudy Gobert is working in Minneapolis right now. And I don't know if that's what he wants, but he has zero choice in the matter. I think it's, I get the sentiment, especially if you were a fan of the Brooklyn Nets. You know, all five of them. But.
Well, it's the same. It's one of those things where one of the most frustrating things about the college football conversation over the last 2 years is that, like, look, the portal and NIL and all of these things can be good for the player and you can support that. But you can also acknowledge that it's bad for the game and bad for fans. Like you can say expansion.
Speaking of bad for the game, I'll let you guys cover this because this is your field of expertise.
Well, I mean, it kind of blends in.
So
with
now
KD.
There are two mega conferences and that's it?
I mean, we're not there yet.
I saw that this was in the document that I didn't look at. So
yeah.
I just wanted to know if we were ready for that.
Well, we're not there yet because ultimately the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have to decide how they keep this thing moving. Like they're kind of screwed with the TV revenue and what their media rights deals look like. But I think Pac-12 is about to negotiate. So we'll see if they get in. Andrew's ready to go here.
Andrew has some college football thoughts. I can see it in the glint of his eye.
I know.
And his chin jutted forward.
He's doing this for the folks on YouTube.
He's pulling up deep inside and he's doing all he can to let them marinate and to launch one into the stratosphere. Go for it.
We can continue with the current discussion.
There's not much to say. It's like Durant's going to go somewhere. I have a feeling it's going to be, there were some reports today that the Nets negotiating in the public are not, they can't trade Booker. Booker cannot, by the laws.
Can I tell you where he goes? I know where he goes. You're sending him to New Orleans. They're getting Brandon Ingram and stuff for him, and they're going to do the KD and Zion thing, and they'll trade everybody else but him. They have so many young assets, and they have so many
guys.
Congratulations on buying the 4 seed.
The Nets or the Pelicans?
Oh, no. The Pelicans with
Durant and Zion is
Durant and whomever is left hanging around there. That's like, I don't think CJ McCollum's going to be a part of the deal. So I think
those three,
like,
they're the favorites in the West immediately.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if they're the favorites in the West. I think they would be very good.
A healthy Zion and a healthy Kevin Durant in a seven-game series is just...
I tend to lean, on situations like these, the player's going to go where the player wants to go, so I think it's going to be Phoenix. It'll be something along the lines of Cam Johnson, who I think could be extremely good, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton in a signing trade.
Do you think that there's going to be more than two teams in this deal? Because that's what it feels
that's
like. It feels
like they're trying that's to what the report I saw this morning was. They're trying to rope in a third team. But I still think he ends up in Phoenix. I don't think he's in New Orleans.
But why would you acquiesce for Kevin Durant? Like, we were just talking about how owners and how GM should look at this whole situation. It's like, no, you're going to Sacramento, man. Like, if we get the best deal.
That's more like Kyrie, though, right now.
When was the last time an NBA player made a demand like this? Where did Anthony Davis end up going?
That's true.
I mean, there was a where did Paul George end up going?
That's true.
You can poo-poo this whole. I really do believe that all the presidents of basketball operations, when they look at this and they think, okay, there will be negotiations with our players moving forward. There will be negotiations with all kinds of free agents. There will be trades moving forward. There will be a lot. There is a lot of capital to be built up by not banishing a Kevin Durant to some NBA hinterland and doing it seemingly out of spite, or doing it even just because it's the best return they could get on the trade. Mm-hmm. That they feel like whatever net gain they have by accepting the best possible package will, over the long haul, cost them. Because agents do get vindictive about stuff like that. They think, why would I arrange for my client to go here if they're going to be made miserable? And players talk to one another.
But then you respond with, well, you locked into the contract and then you went and immediately...
Yeah, you can't logic your way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kevin Durant is going to go where Kevin Durant wants to go, and they'll figure out a way.
That's how you lose people in the league. That's how you lose fans. That's how you piss people off. Like, that's just, if Kevin Durant is able to do that over and over. It's also just that, like, can we also talk about, like,
conversation about declining NBA viewership or anything like that?
Well, it's not declining NBA viewership, but it's just more of, like, I think the bouncing around is just, there's a reason that a lot of
people. It does. Over the long haul, it does do that. But agents, their job is not to. Their job is not worrying about NBA fan interest. Their job is worrying about the interest of their clients. That's a good reason for that.
Oh, you mean player freedom and the whole player empowerment era may have actually. turned into some bad faith action.
I mean, it's a longer conversation, but I mean, weirdo Twitter junkies like me love days like Friday where the fit hits the shan. We love that stuff. That was fun for me.
Are you talking about Wendy and all that? Yeah, that was
fun. Yeah, not just the Wendy stuff, but all of the speculation about where did this trade come from? What is the value of the trade? Where will he go?
Yeah.
Okay, where will Kevin Durant go next? Will the Nets, is the market drying up for Kyrie to the point where they have to send him back into the loving embrace of LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers? Like, all of that, all of the #ThisLeague stuff that the diehards who spend too much time on the internet really dig probably does turn off a percentage of the population who just wants to watch a game and then has to go, wait, who's on the roster now?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, this guy's playing there. When did that happen?
This is probably college football, but yeah, college football is in way more dire straits in this regard, where it's like the portal, where it was already, it was usually you had an idea of where people were on the best teams. Now with the portal, that it's so hard to be a casual college football fan now, because you have no idea where anybody is unless it's your job to keep up. Like, there's going to, like, in the Oregon-Georgia game, there are going to be so many college football fans that tune in and they're like, is that Bo Nix under center for Oregon? I mean, like, Auburn quarterback Bo Nix is at Oregon. And I think a lot of casual fans probably just have no idea that happened, that he just entered the portal after 3 years at starting at Auburn. It's just that kind of stuff is... that's the antithesis of why folks want to watch. They want to watch because they like want to fall in love with their guys for four right. years and they're gone. Like, that's part of the appeal. And you get like, hey, this is better for the player. But like, understand, you lose fans like that, because ultimately they want to be able to follow the sport, understand the sport, understand
right.
where
and
things
it
are
shouldn't,
going.
It yeah. shouldn't feel, once it feels like work.
Yes.
People are going to stop doing it.
It is work to keep up with what college football is, and it's work to keep up with who's on who in NBA, and then like the protected picks, unprotected, the lottery, understanding the
I've got CBA. The Larry Kuhn CBA yeah. explainer bookmarked, but it is 125 chapters long, and
yes.
I can't parse it without the help of a decent economist or at least
right.
an accountant. It's very confusing. Yeah.
And part of the what part of the reason the NFL is king and will remain king, but this is something they have to get they have to be very, very careful about, and this starts with Kyler probably, is that when you have a quarterback, when you draft the franchise quarterback in the NFL, you expect to have that guy for over a decade, where you can just latch on and you have that guy for a decade. You will watch, and that is like the best feeling of any sports fan, is when you have the franchise quarterback year yeah. over year. But if Kyler and guys like Kyler who come into this league and then after a couple of years they're like, this isn't working, and they start moving around, if you have quarterback movement in the NFL in their prime, that's a huge
okay,
issue.
But you know, in the late 2000s when Brett Favre was doing his Garber routine about
he was already he was past his prime Favre. No, that was past his prime, Brett Favre. That was
right.
How many years
okay.
did Favre? I'm saying, like, if you do
yeah,
it within your first
that
or second contract
every year about promising to be
yeah
like, I'm
there,
saying
there was a point like after 2003 2004 where he was kind of pontificating, do I want to stay, do I want, it wasn't as public, but he was going through that phase because they drafted Aaron Rodgers, and he was just like, wait, y'all really drafted on the quarterback? And it's like, yeah,
how
dude.
How many years did Aaron Rodgers sit before he got the starting job? Was it three?
3 or 4 years, yeah.
It was three. I think
about
it was three.
Years.
I thought he started his third year. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he started his third year. I'd have to think.
Jamie, get on.
I thought he sat two full. I could be wrong.
He might have played sparingly, but – I do remember, like, there was this point where, like, because it was after they lost to the Rams in the playoffs, and he threw like 6 interceptions in that game. He was crap. And there were these, you know, discussions, oh, has he played his last game? You know, clearly he's on the downturn of his career. So, like, what does all of this mean? And then, yeah, we went through that whole song and dance for, like, a 3-4-year stretch.
He sat for 3, by the way.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers sat for 3 years. I mean, look, it used to be, decades ago, the old saw was any quarterback who's drafted, even a potential all-timer, needed to sit for 5 years and learn the nuances of the game behind the established veteran. That was just sort of considered the norm. That you could,
well,
not
if the veteran was halfway decent,
fire. You couldn't throw a rookie quarterback into a starting in with the starting 11, or else you would damn them to
club. Also, Terry Bradshaw before 1974.
Yeah,
I mean,
should have kept playing Jim Gilliam.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
old.
Well, there were reasons he wasn't playing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I
don't know what they are.
Yeah,
it escapes me right now.
Well, I mean, there was one reason why a lot of people didn't want to give him a chance, but then there were like a few other reasons why it was like, do we want to? No, but the way the NFL is now, where you basically, if you're going to draft a rookie quarterback, either one of two things happens. You put him around vets and he eventually starts, you know, maybe halfway through his rookie season.
I think, yeah, unless they're a real Trey Lance type prospect where everyone assumes that they were playing, they don't have any idea how to run a pro style offense. And all the top guys are getting, they're being handed the reins from jump street.
And offenses and NFL teams have realized,
college teams are doing this too. They're running, like the sets they're running aren't that dissimilar from the stuff in the pros, if only because all of the air raid principles have been imported into the pros now anyway. Yeah. So.
Well,
I'm a college football knower. And
the NFL realized, man, maybe we should tailor our stuff to the college kids because, you know, the it NFL worked. Is always 15 to 20 years behind figuring out what's next. Great league you got.
I think add elements where it's like you can't just fully adopt the Texas Tech.
You can never do that. No.
Yeah.
The NFL, look, yes, with regards to, okay, do I, as a casual fan, need to pay attention to the transaction wire in order to figure out where Kevin Durant is heading and why, order to enjoy just the immediate pleasures of watching Kevin Durant play? Yes. The NFL, I would say, has a much lower barrier for entry when it comes to a kind of entertainment. And I think a lot of the ways in which the amount of player movement and or the lack thereof, I think, does absolutely benefit casual NFL viewership. I would argue that it has to do a lot more with there being only, you know, that the game times are set and there's only one a week. And the fun of the NFL is,
you're discounting like Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, and
that was extremely cool. That was awesome. Everybody loved that.
And I think people want that for years. They want the rivalry, and like Buffalo Bills fans are packing like it. They just know that they're in it every year that Josh Allen's in his prime. But if Josh Allen went to the negotiating table every year and he's like, "Oh, me and Diggs, we don't see eye to eye. I need you unless Diggs is out, I'm out."
You mean like a certain team in the NFC North that
here's the difference.
Same...
Rodgers gave over a decade. I know what you're talking.
I'm talking about Minnesota.
Oh, who are you talking about with Diggs and Cousins?
Yeah.
Well, the difference, Cousins and Minnesota fans, they know Kirk Cousins is not like the franchise guy. He wasn't drafted by Minnesota. He was traded. Like he was after the fact.
Yeah, but when you have Stephon Diggs and. Mm. You should probably,
it worked out. Justin Jefferson's pretty awesome.
Yes, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I love Justin Jefferson, but at the end of the day, you still have a guy that is he going to be? We're still having questions about the same guy for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but that's not really a Diggs Jefferson issue. That's more of a management with Kirk Cousins and paying Kirk Cousins issue.
Let's not talk about it.
I mean, you're a playoff team again, Andrew, this year. Like, that's good. You're a playoff
team. That NFC North is going to be trash.
It's going to be completely different, where the two bottom teams are really bad and the Vikings and the Packers both win double-digit games.
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lions are playing competitive football into the first week of November. But that's from the point of you improved at the end of the regular season, but man, that division takes a few steps back.
It'd be nice if Jameson Williams was available out the gate, but he will not be.
It's going to be a bad division. Justin Fields, they didn't do much to surround.
Speaking
him,
of, like Allen. That's the if you want to get some value on first coach fired, Matt Eberflus in Chicago is actually Wilkes thing. I would not be surprised if he gets Steve Wilkes, where if that offense, and it's bad, that offense is bad. And if Justin Fields is awful next year, and if that offense is unwatchable,
it's just not.
Defensive coaches don't last long when the offense sucks and they don't have good quarterback play. They just don't. You don't get a long leash.
I get that. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to get at least 2 years.
We say that, man, but if you're historically bad offensively and you're a defensive-minded coach, there's a precedent set that they will move on. The Dolphins won 8 straight games and still moved on from Flores because Tua was not developing.
I mean, let's
again. their reasons.
Well, yeah. I think there are reasons and there's a lot of nuance involved there, but I will still maintain that if Tua was playing really well down the stretch and that offense looked good and he had not fumbled the offensive coordinator hires, like they went in with co-coordinators last year, then I think he's still around. But I think because they finally drafted Tua and they had this guy that they're like, we have to figure out if he's a franchise guy, there was just a disconnect and he didn't believe in Tua. So if he wanted Watson and didn't believe in Tua, if that's the reporting on it is just that, like, he was not in on Tua, then they're going to side with the quarterback every time over the defensive minded coach, unless you're like Bill Belichick.
And even then the quarterback doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
if you win 6 Super Bowls, you get a long
he
reach.
Might pick you over the quarterback.
You get a pretty long leash.
Exactly. Well, college football minute, Andrew, you were ready. Here's your minute, Bob. This is, you'll learn something here.
Oh, poking Andrew to make sure he gets the take. Poke.
Yeah,
poke,
no.
Poke, poke.
So this, and people have been saying, it was this moment that started the domino effect. It was that moment that started the domino effect. The real domino effect started 1991. You had Arkansas and South Carolina going to the SEC. They expanded to 12 teams. And then you had Penn State, who was a lifelong independent, going to the Big Ten. And that's where all of this started. This expansion, this need for territory, resources, market share, all this crap. Regional college football died earlier this week. It was already dead, but it's basically just done now. The West Coast, USC and UCLA are now in the Big Ten. And this is pretty much the Fox answer to ESPN picking up or adding Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. Like, everything that's been happening over the last decade should not shock anybody. Like, we've always been headed towards this type of Armageddon moment where the two networks or the two media companies, Fox and ESPN, which portions of Fox are owned by Disney. So basically, it's just, you know, Mickey Mouse in the Disneyland castle just playing with like a marionette type thing. Yay. Look, I've been on record saying that it was probably going to be by the end of the decade, we would see the eventual ESPN brand of college football teams and the Fox brand of college football teams. Speed that timeline up to about 2025. And I don't think anybody's...
I like this take.
I don't think anybody is going to be... And that's the thing. Nobody is going to be kicked out of conferences. That's not going to happen. Because, one, financially...
Yeah, there are a lot of contracts and agreements that can't be just immediately torn up.
Yeah.
And there are financial commitments beyond just football.
Yeah.
That makes that very, very
well, this
very
is the other part of it too. Like, they're gonna run into Title IX stuff. Like, this is part of I'm waiting for that shoe to drop where this much revenue going to how Title IX plays in football doing what they're doing right now and making all of these decisions based on football. Because this is what scares me the most is like this really
this
screws
what,
over every other sport.
It's what destroyed Big East basketball.
Mm-hmm.
When they tried to make it a football conference?
Yeah. Yes.
Three decades ago when they decided they wanted that football.
Boise money. State was in the Big East. San Diego State was in the Big
East. They were there for like 2 minutes and then people realized, this is a really bad fucking idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an idea that there was money to be made, and now the Big East is gone. So,
well, it's somewhat back in basketball.
I do enjoy the fact that UConn people are like clamoring to hold on or clamoring to go into the ACC now. It's like, dog, that there's like a category 5 tornado that's about to hit the ACC's house.
I was talking
really want to move here.
Well, I was talking to Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline, who covers Virginia Tech, and he's pretty plugged in. And I didn't realize how many different conferences in Virginia Tech's history where they've been everywhere, and they're not concerned about any of this. Where they're like, I don't care.
They've also been a Big East school.
Yeah, they've been Big East. They've been West Virginia, independent. They've been everything.
West Virginia is like the most pissed off in all of this because they're just like, we were sold on a bill of goods, and for again, by the way, because they went to the Big East. Because they actually used to be in the Southern Conference, and then they went to the Big East, which it's like everything that they've been involved with. You're just like poor West Virginia.
I mean, the Big 12 most travel. I mean, the travel for Big 12. Like I imagine the non-football Mountaineer teams.
Just the travel. I mean, the travel for all of those Big East schools and for USC and UCLA when you've got. Again, it's not just one sport. You're talking about hauling kids. Yeah.
A lot of kids. Volleyball kids on a Tuesday from Piscataway, New Jersey to Southern California, and then coming back. Like how are they doing school? How is any of this happening?
What they'll probably do is, and they did this in, they do this in the Pac-12 because people forget the Pac-12 stretches from Seattle to
Arizona. Tennessee. Yeah.
And so that's very long. So what they do is, if you're going to go, say, if you're Washington State and you've got to play at Arizona on a Thursday, going to be at Arizona on Thursday, either Saturday or Sunday, you're going to be at Arizona State. So you're going to see more of that. But the problem is those pairing weekends that you would normally have, since schools are relatively close, it's going to be really weird now. I think you can get away with it in Olympic sports because if you're volleyball, you can just make that trip teams can make that trip, go to LA, get both LA schools on a weekend, come back. But now you're thinking in terms of women's basketball. You're looking at wrestling. You're looking at baseball, I look at tennis. To me, tennis is going to be very fascinating because you end up going on the road, and a lot of these, and the one thing that people don't realize is that a lot of the non-Olympic sports or the Olympic sports, they don't have direct flights. A lot of these schools don't have direct flights, or if they do, congratulations, it's great, but you're in an airport. Like I've seen, I think it was Georgia Tech. I saw Georgia Tech volleyball in an airport just kicking it one day. And you're just like, wait a minute, where are they flying to? I think they're flying to like Tallahassee or something. It was somewhere on the coast, but they aren't flying direct. And God forbid, the other aspect.
Well, there's not a direct flight in a lot of these towns. Like Knoxville is you fly out of Knoxville. Guess what? You're flying. You're it's a 2-part thing. Like you're flying somewhere and then you're getting on another plane and flying somewhere else. Like Happy Valley and all that. Like there's just no direct flights there.
Like I used this example on another pod earlier this week. You go from, if you're Texas Tech, you got to go up to West Virginia. You don't sometimes fly directly into Morgantown. You're going to Pittsburgh, and then you're driving back down. So, think about the equipment guys. Think about those equipment trucks that are going they're already going a day and a half, maybe 2 days before. If you are UCLA, you got to go to Purdue in mid-November. You're driving that equipment truck across the country. You get stuck on an I-70 pass. And, it's snow-packed. You're screwed. So, I mean, there's so many logistical things that need to be brought into play. But the fact that we are here at this point should shock nobody. But I will keep Bob awake, and I have a playoff theory.
Uh-oh.
I think we can solve this. Eventually, it's going to be a new Big Ten and a new SEC. Like, there will not be a third brand. Mainly because...
I just think that's going to take a long time. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to force them out like that.
I don't think you'll be able to force them out. But the problem is you've got the Big 12 and the Pac-12 thinking about teaming up. It's like, brother, the Big 10 and the SEC, they're three or four moves ahead of you.
Yeah.
The moment that...
But that's not a bad idea. Like, they need to be thinking big like that. They have to be thinking big like that.
But the problem is, this is the second year in a row that a conference feels duped.
Yeah.
Because I was talking.
Well, it's not they feel duped. They were duped. They were literally lied to. Like, that's a thing that happened there. There's just so much. Oh, it turns out handshake agreements when millions of dollars, billions of dollars are involved might not be the best way of going about it.
So you mean the alliance was a bad idea the entire time? Because
the alliance was a good idea. Not getting it in writing and not having contractual obligations to this and having like, hey, if you poach our guys, you owe us this amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, you saying you're not going to poach any of our guys. Like, that's the agreement, is we're not poaching each other and we're not going to do this. Like, that the alliance was a good in theory thing. But because they didn't get anything in writing where they were like, we are not going to let greed override what we want to do here. And then greed overrid what they were doing, and that was it.
And the problem that you've
had rules everything around me.
Great song. The problem that I have, quite frankly, is the moment that USC and UCLA decided they were going to give up 107 years of conference tradition to chase the bag, which, you know what? I'm not even mad at it. Go chase the bag.
No, you can't be mad at it. Like, it's okay to be mad at it. Like, why do we can acknowledge that it's money motivated, but it's like, money motivations are pretty bad, like, generally speaking.
You're
making a lot
of
money. Now you want to make more. It's like UCLA and USC were making a lot of money in the Pac-12.
UNC was kind of broke. UCLA was kind of a broke boy and has been a broke boy.
But they could be. Like, that was more of what they were managing fund. Like, there is...
Yeah.
UCLA gets a lot of DOD money, too.
Mm-hmm. But the problem that UCLA ran into, and a lot of Pac-12 teams did, is they didn't invest in the network enough, or they put too much of their money in a network that never gained barely any traction. So now you're screwed and you can't make a lot of that stuff up on the back end. But my final thought is, the moment that those two teams left for the Big Ten, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 should have been in a freaking war room discussing how are we going to save our leagues. Because this is my theory, and this is what I think with the playoff. You're going to have the new Big Ten, which is going to be 30-something plus teams. Yes, it's going to be 30-something plus teams, because at the end of the day, that third league cannot sustain itself if they're going to be just fighting for the scraps on the back end of whatever Fox and ESPN don't have. So you're going to have this new Big Ten and this new SEC. Six teams from each, top six, get in the playoff, 12-team playoff.
I don't know. I think what's going to be funny is they're going to reinvent. You remember how, like, modern-day entrepreneurs, they just reinvent things that were already invented? They're going to just reinvent commerce divisions, where it's like, we're going to have the Big Ten, the SEC, and then we're going to have the Pac-12 within the Big Ten, and we're going to have all these different divisions. Like, that's how they'll solve the schedule stuff, is they're just going to put all those teams that used to play each other anyway. They're going to be like, oh, you're in this division of the Big Ten Conference. You're in this division of the SEC. That's how they're going to flip it. They're going to be like, we reinvented it.
And it's like, you mean they're called pods? No. Yeah. No way.
Mm-hmm. I'll end on this. I think if I hear one more person tell me that this is money motivated, I might just throw my phone across there. Hey, guess what? College football fans got it. Like, Colin Cowherd had a podcast about this, and I was angry at myself for being this angry about it, where – it was like, oh, it's great. Nobody wants to watch Colorado State, Oregon State. They want to watch USC versus Michigan. Okay.
Oh,
Oregon State want to watch those games. There is a complete disconnect between like what the national media and what you want to do on a Saturday versus what college football was literally about, which was that it is a regional sport that people care way more about what's going on in their community. Guess what? Tennessee fans care more about beating Florida at home than they care about being in the playoff. They care more about that than playing on a neutral site against a big Power Five other conference. They will pick that to their grave. Like every college football fan cares about the regionality more than the national stuff. And if I'm one more national person who doesn't go to games and doesn't talk to any other person who actually lives in a community or goes to these games, I'm going to lose my mind.
Can I say something?
Don't lose your mind. Stay
sane. Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
The problem with – because regional college football has been dead basically since
– It hasn't been dead. That's not a thing.
What I'm saying is regional interest. As somebody who lived out on the West Coast and, you know – The problem is they've turned it into ESPN. I hate being that guy. You know, when we talk about being network driven, I saw it firsthand. If you aren't if you aren't deemed a glamour team by any of the networks, there's not going to be any interest in you. One reason why everybody's so jacked up about USC, because it's like, oh, great, we can care about college football on the West Coast again. It's like,
but that's national. The people on the West Coast, the people at UW, they don't care that you're not getting picked up on national ESPN or Fox games. Like UW just want to watch UW games. They want to watch Washington State games. Do you think Cougar fans and Pullman really care what kind of national coverage they're getting?
No, it's not that. It's the fact that the major networks and, you know, the fact that you can tell these stories, ESPN has centered everything on the playoff.
Right.
Which is wrong. But the problem about that is that marketing strategy and how they built it is that you alienate, if you are not having a playoff caliber season, nobody cares. And nobody should give
But see, people still care in those regions.
I know that, but what I'm saying is the problem is you run into a team like Utah who had a fantastic season, who could and should have been one of the biggest stories of the season, and you have all of these teams in like the mid part of the conference, the middle part of the leagues, they're having these great season and these great stories, but what's being said on a afternoon game on ABC involving 2-7 win teams that are, you know.
Wait, why do Utah fans care about that? They don't care.
No, but what I'm saying is you put on Iowa and Wisconsin, 2:30 game on ABC.
Right.
It's an important game in the Big Ten West. I was going to say Big Ten North, but it's an important game in the Big Ten West. And what's being discussed? They're talking about the college football playoff. Why would I want to know about the college football playoff when I'm seeing my team in a showcase game that's important to the conference, not even the playoff? The problem is they've centered the playoff so much that you alienate everybody else.
I just don't think you're alienating any people. I just don't think they like it, but they're still keeping up with the regional coverage. They're still going to their rival site. They're still going to their stuff. They're watching the games. They're tailgating.
But in terms of the bottom line, in terms of ESPN's bottom line getting in the playoff, they've got what they needed in terms of footprint, in terms of exposure, all that. But the problem is you've sacrificed so much coverage from everybody else that – there's going to be a point this season where your four playoff teams are going to be Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Like, that's just how it works. But the problem is,
I don't think Georgia's a playoff team this year.
You never know. But I'm just saying, it's one of those things where if you're going to focus on playoff teams while you're covering a game that doesn't have to deal with the playoff, but you're basically
I understand what you're saying on that front. And I understand that. I just don't think that's what if you like talking to any folks who go have season tickets to their games or concerned, like none of them are concerned. Like, yeah, that it rubs them the wrong way.
Be there, but you're losing the casual fan.
I don't think so.
How many people were interested in the playoff this year? Like when we realized, oh, it's going to be Alabama, but Georgia.
It's a regular season sport. Like none of that stuff matters to every other fan. They've always looked at it that way. Like Washington State fans know that they're not winning a national title. UW fans know that they're not winning a national title. SMU fans know they're not winning a national title. Most schools understand that. They don't care. They just want to beat their rivals. They want to have fun.
The problem is, perfect example, you look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, it basically took public, you know, just like, what are you guys doing denying them from the playoff? Like, because if you remember the first playoff poll that they had, you had Kirk Herbstreit saying, well, you know, who is Cincinnati? Or no, it wasn't Kirk Herbstreit. My bad. It was the playoff committee chair. He's like, well, we really aren't sure what Cincinnati's done. Cincinnati literally went on the road to Notre Dame and
they weren't one of the four best teams in the country. Like they were never that.
What?
They were never that.
They were.
No, if you put them up against, okay, so if we put the SEO, if you put them against Ohio State, they probably lose on a neutral side. If you put them against,
but the problem is, we saw Ohio State. Was Ohio State a good team last year? Absolutely.
What I'm saying is, do you think on a neutral side, Ohio State's not favored against Cincinnati last year?
That doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that they had good bona fides to be in the four, but like we can all also objectively say that Cincinnati was never one of the four best teams in college football last year. Not even close. The third best SEC team, the fourth, like Tennessee would have been right there with Cincinnati last year. Cincinnati would have had problems with their tempo. Problems.
The problem is that we're instead of just giving Cincinnati credit for what they've done. Well, my problem
it's getting a little late. I'm on the clock. This topic, and I don't think you guys are going to find common ground. Is all I'm saying.
I'll just say this, and I'll stop.
But it's a nice debate.
Doing the work during the regular season, and we aren't pushing a narrative throughout.
Mm-hmm.
The sport will be better off, but we can't do that now, because everything has been driven and controlled by networks. So, like I said,
which is bad.
Like I said on Wednesday, we're all on a spinning rock that's going to end up, you know, exploding anyway. So just enjoy the ride while you can.
Be mad about it. The people who gleam about it are just like, it's money. Who didn't see this coming? It's like, great.
I hate the people. I think we agree on this. I hate the people that said, oh yeah, of course dude, we all saw this coming. It's just the fact that instead of by the end of the decade, it's happening in like 2 or 3 years.
Right. There's a political corollary that I could get to, but I'll save that.
Bob's like, I'm here for that.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, what can we look out for you this week at the Daily Beast or anywhere else?
I've got a story. Actually, I got a brief essay in D Magazine coming out on Tuesday. Nice. That is a local Texas publication, Dallas publication, about the way that the Knicks and the Mavericks have gotten all up in each other's business the last 3.5 years since the Kristaps Porzingis trade, and it's also about the Brunson trade, and I get deep into my feelings, so be on the lookout for that.
Okay, I like it.
Tuesday.
Andrew, what about you at the Detroit Free Press?
Just summer. Pistons.
Summer.
Yeah. Well, which is, you know, it's supposed to be the slow time of the year.
It's over already. Summer's over already.
I told a friend of mine, I said, I don't know what a slow time is, because if we're going to, you know, NBA Summer League,
Summer League.
Yeah, right. So Summer League, I believe Summer League begins.
I'm not that much of a sicko. I can't do it.
I gotta eat some tape on Trevor Keels, Chase. I gotta know.
Can't do it.
What does Trevor Keels look like?
See, Bob, this is, if you would watch college basketball, you would understand.
I did. I watched Trevor Keels during March Madness. He's a bowling ball sized dude. I dig him.
There you go.
I love you, Bob.
Something I've never been described as, a bowling ball sized dude.
No, you're an ectomorph, man.
Yes, I am.
No one denies this.
I am an ectomorph. Bob Silverman, Andrew Hammond, Thank you as always, and I will talk to y'all next week. All right, y'all, that'll do it for part one here on a Saturday, July 2nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Hope you guys are having a great holiday weekend, and I appreciate you guys making the Chase Thomas Podcast part of your holiday weekend listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're an Apple Podcast or Spotify listener. And yeah, like and subscribe on the YouTube page, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast. Check out the homepage, ChaseThomasPodcast.com. All that good stuff. And part two, part three coming up in just 1 second. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.